For the third year in a row, the annual authorization bill for the Defense Department is looking like it's going to place a very heavy emphasis on acquisition reform. The House Armed Services Committee is set to begin its markup of the NDAA today, and the draft version offered by Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry includes more than 60 separate sections dealing with the ways in which the Pentagon buys products and services. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has been combing through the final version of Thornberry's proposals, what's called the Chairman's Mark, and he joins me now. Jared, this sounds like something that Mac Thornberry just never tires at picking at.
Acquisition reform, of course, a big interest of Mr. Thornberry and his Senate counterpart, John McCain, frankly, although we have no idea what's happening on the Senate side because they routinely do all their marking up of the NDAA in secret. But yeah, I think we ought to start off with one of the main areas that Thornberry's already been talking about for a couple months now, but it has not, in my view, gotten enough attention, which is service contracting. It's, of course, been true for a long time now that DOD buys more services than it does stuff, meaning hardware, weapon systems, but it's harder to track. And by the department's own admission, it is not managed as rigorously. It's not as sexy as bombers or fighter jets, so it doesn't get as much attention as other things from the Congress or the media. But this version of the NDAA would do several really important things on services. One, it would require DOD to submit detailed spending plans for service contracts for the whole year, along with the budget that it sends to Congress, just like it does for weapon systems. And those plans would have to be based on historical data. They'd have to be based on some rigorous analysis of what all the military services and agencies are going to need for services for the year. And Tom, that's obviously very different from how things work today. Services are, like in almost every other agency, I think, very decentralized. They're based on really local requirements, and there really is no line in any of the military services budgets that says services.
Well, right. So, there are services and there are services. I mean, there are services for creating IT systems and services for lawn mowing at bases.
It's right. There's a really important distinction there. I mean, there are tons of those lawnmower type services, but probably the largest contract in all of DOD, aside from the F-35 maybe, is the services contract for TRICARE. That's a services contract that really is based on some rigorous requirements, but not all of them are. So in terms of requirements, we've talked about these things DOD has set up already called service requirements review boards, still fairly new, and they're sometimes called contract courts. But basically, they're these internal oversight panels where, to some extent, if you've got a requirement for services, you have to justify it. But the committee seems to think that DOD's been using these boards basically just to critique the types of contracts people are using to buy services. So in other words, how they're buying the services, not whether they actually need the services. So the bill would require them to do the latter, quoting here from the bill, to critically examine requirements in light of total force management, available resources, analysis of past spending, and contracting best practices. And then finally on services, Tom, there's also a big emphasis on doing good planning in the cases where the department really does have a validated requirement for services. And to encourage that, they're trying to impose what they would call accountability on people who use bridge contracts to hold over old contracts because the new one's not been completed yet. So the first time you use a bridge contract for a given requirement, you've got to notify a senior official in the department. The second time it goes to an even more senior official and so on and so on. So bottom line, I think the language in the bill makes clear that the committee really doesn't think DOD has any clear idea of how many contractors it needs, let alone how many it has. They want real requirements down on paper. They want the department to plan based on those requirements. And, I think they think that that would go a long way toward improving management at every headquarters, every installation.
Lots of green eye shade work. We're speaking mm-hmm. with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. And did anything come up about lowest price technically acceptable? Because I think there was a bill bouncing around the Hill to change the way the Defense Department goes about that type of contracting.
There's no explicit section on LPTA that I saw in this particular bill. It may, of course, come up as an amendment in the committee process. This is, again, just the chairman's mark. So we've got a long way to go before we have a full NDAA out of the committee.
And the other big issue for Thornberry is the electronic marketplace issue. The language he submitted, I guess, back in late April or early May, looks as if Jeff Bezos of Amazon wrote it.
Yeah, I think it was May, and that this so-called Amazon provision has been out for a while. We've covered it, you're right, so I won't go into a ton of detail, but basically As you allude to, it requires the government to contract with a few different online marketplaces where you've got a bunch of different sellers in one marketplace. And then the government would then use those to buy commercial products. They'd have to use they'd have to accept the same commercial terms and conditions that businesses have to use when they're buying from those marketplaces. So there have been a couple changes here. As you pointed out just now and in a really good column that you had on this a few days ago, one of the criticisms has been that it looks like it's explicitly intended to drive government business to Amazon in particular. So Thornberry says he's tweaked the language to make very clear that he wants several different marketplaces competing for government business. And then a second very, very big change is that this would now apply government-wide, not just to DOD. So the General Services Administration would be in charge of setting up these arrangements with the marketplaces. And interestingly, they would not have to enter into those contracts in any sort of competitive process whatsoever. They could just pick them, basically. Here's Thornberry describing those latest changes in a gaggle with reporters late last week.
And the goal here is to have multiple online marketplaces. And so we changed the wording of the language to better reflect the desire and the expectation that it will be more than one. And we've talked a lot with GSA, who is very interested in helping manage these online marketplaces for the benefit of the entire government. And I think that the whole government will, all parts of the government will get a better deal when you make the buying community bigger than DOD.
Again, Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. And I guess my take on this, Tom, is it's not entirely clear to me what problem this is trying to solve. I mean, there have been a lot of pushes from Congress to get DOD to act more like a commercial buyer, as you mentioned in your column. But the thing Thornberry keeps saying about this one is, hey, if DOD needs office supplies, they ought to be able to just go on Amazon and order them. But the government already has marketplaces that look a lot like that. I mean, you can go to GSA Advantage today and order a case of copier paper with free shipping for basically the same price you'd get on Amazon. So I'm not totally convinced that the government is getting massively ripped off or bogged down in red tape when it comes to buying these kinds of commodities. I mean, this is not $400 hammer type stuff.
No, it's not. Plus, they have their hallways and their strategic sourcing initiatives and other programs at GSA for, I think, 9 or 10 categories of commodities. And so in some ways, the mechanisms are already there. And the other issue, I think, for some DOD buyers, especially of technical types of products, is are you getting them from authorized sources, say authorized by the manufacturer, which comes with some kind of a warranty if it's a sensitive type of product. Unlike paper, it could be a flight line connector.
Yeah, that's right. And if it ends up not working out, you're basically just subject to whatever Amazon or Staples return policy is, even if you've bought, 3,000 of the commercial item, which may or may not be a bad thing. I mean, that may be easier than dealing with existing government procurement processes. But the other issue that we haven't talked about is what does this do to small businesses, which, of course, the government's existing programs are explicitly designed to address in terms of the requirements that we already have in federal law to protect small business. There's really nothing like that here. There's just one provision in there that requires GAO to go in after the marketplaces are set up and just kind of assess the extent to which small businesses are participating in these marketplaces, but there's nothing proactive here that would try to incentivize the use of small business in these marketplaces.
And 60 provisions all in all, huh?
60 provisions all in all, and I apologize that I have not gotten to do justice to all of them, but I'll just rattle off a few here. There are a few that really might go a long ways toward addressing cost, through the life cycle of a weapon system. So, for example, they want DOD to go in and negotiate intellectual property rights on the front end of a weapon system so they know what it's going to cost over the long run once they get into the sustainment phase, and also do some critical thinking about exactly what types of intellectual property they need to license from the manufacturer, again, before they get into the sustainment phase, without paying licensing fees for the whole kit and caboodle. Just buy enough that you need to adequately do maintenance. There are things like enhancing the career development of the civilian program management workforce through a new career development program for those folks, things to boost the acquisition workforce and study knowledge gaps in terms of where those folks, lack of understanding might be in terms of how businesses operate, how businesses are motivated, and make them better buyers on behalf of the government. So those are just some of the more than 60, which I'm sure we'll talk about more as we get further into the process.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
Check out all of Jared's coverage at federalnewsradio.com.